Good morning. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. 9 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Tuesday, May the 22nd. It's going to be a beautiful day in Wisconsin. Hope you'll be able to enjoy it. Well, the U.S. Attorney General, Alberto Gonzalez, has certainly seen better days. He's facing a no-confidence vote in the U.S. Senate in the next week or two. And the top Republican on the Senate committee that's investigating Gonzalez, Arlen Specter of Pennsylvania, said on one of the Sunday news shows he expects Gonzalez could resign before the vote is taken. However, the White House doesn't share that view, and Gonzalez has said he wants to stay in the job. President Bush yesterday stood by his friend once again, and as we heard in NPR News, the president called all of this pure political theater. Well, we'll talk about the whole saga and this no-confidence vote that is scheduled in the U.S. Senate, and wonder if you were voting with the U.S. Senate, would you be voting confidence or no confidence in Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez, and why? 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890, or talk at WPR.org. Talk at WPR.org. Please include your first name and your community with your email. Our guest this hour is Joel Grossman, professor of political science at Johns Hopkins University, adjunct professor of law at the University of Maryland Law School. Prior to moving to Maryland, he was a professor of political science and law at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Good morning.
Good morning.
So do you think Alberto Gonzalez will resign?
Not immediately, no. I think he'll hold out as long as the president wants to hold out, and when the president feels that he can't sustain it anymore, then Gonzalez will leave.
Yeah. How unusual is this no confidence vote that's scheduled in the Senate?
An actual non confidence vote is very unusual, but the Senate has from time to time, and it could be the House or the Senate, by the way, mm-hmm. Or both. Has occasionally passed referendums or other kinds of resolutions of that kind, but these are non-binding resolutions. They have absolutely no effect, yeah. And they have no legal effect. But nonetheless, they can be politically damaging. I mean, I think George Bush is correct, though perhaps not for the reasons he thought. This is pure political theater. It is on both sides. It's like a theatrical chess game. Each mm-hmm. side is planning its moves and waiting to see what the other guy does and seeing who slips first. And eventually somebody will prevail.
Yeah. So why do you think the president is standing by Alberto Gonzalez in light of all of these eyebrow-raising events of that we've heard about in recent weeks?
Well, I think he's made a pure political calculation, which is that, number one, if this thing drags out long enough, people get bored with it, and it won't have any great effect on the election, which I don't think it will. Secondly, people forget. Thirdly, he doesn't want to lose another close associate. Remember, he's already mm-hmm. lost Wolfowitz. And before that, of course, Rumsfeld and a few other lesser but not unimportant people, and it's a kind of a measure of a president's performance that he can defend himself from a Congress of the other party. What we're seeing here, of course, is the vast difference between a president with a Congress of his own party and a president in a divided government.
Yeah. Well, how eyebrow-raising should this all be, that Alberto Gonzalez was testifying that he really wasn't heavily involved in the dismissal of those U.S. attorneys, and then what we heard last week, that he apparently, when he was White House counsel, was at the bedside of Ashcroft,
John Ashcroft,
trying to press him into signing off on the warrantless wiretapping program.
Well, I think what we are now is in the kind of misty fields of plausible deniability, and there's no doubt in my mind that he knew what was going on, because no attorney general would allow that kind of activity to happen without his approval. And as in many cases, and this is true of both parties, sometimes you allow things to happen, but make sure that you're not connected to them officially. So the idea that he didn't literally sign off on these things might be correct, but nobody took any actions that they thought he would disapprove of. And, of course, generally he knew about it because he was involved in it before he became attorney general. So, you know, that part of it is not believable. The fact that he can't remember all of a sudden specific decisions, take that at face value. You know, we all forget facts, and he can be pretty busy, but this is pretty big stuff. When you fire, apparently they had an original list of 26 U.S. attorneys they were going to fire. That's more than a quarter of all the U.S. attorneys, and that would be quite extraordinary.
We're talking with Joel Grossman, professor of political science at Johns Hopkins University, adjunct professor of law at the University of Maryland Law School, talking about the Alberto Gonzalez saga. The Senate is poised to give a no-confidence vote to Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez, perhaps this week, maybe next week. And we wonder what you think about all this. Is it pure political theater, as the president said yesterday? Or does the Senate have reason to have no confidence in Alberto Gonzalez? And should Alberto Gonzalez go? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. We welcome your thoughts and questions about this. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 18 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Tuesday, May the 22nd. After 5 this afternoon, at issue with Ben Marins, Ben's guest historian, will talk about President Carter's weekend comments about the Bush administration being the worst administration ever, and the historian will compare the Bush and Nixon administrations in the wake of those comments. That's coming up after 5 o'clock this afternoon. We're talking about whether or not Alberto Gonzalez, the nation's attorney general, should resign. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. The president says he still stands by Gonzalez, and Gonzalez says he wants to stay on the job, but the U.S. Senate is poised to vote no confidence. They have scheduled a no confidence vote anyway on Alberto Gonzalez, and we're talking with a political analyst about this vote and the whole controversy, welcoming your thoughts and questions at 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Joel Grossman is a professor of political science and an adjunct professor of law. And Betty in Glendale is first. Hi, Betty. You're on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Someone last week said that Alberto Gonzalez doesn't realize that he's no longer the president's attorney, but he's the people's attorney general. And I think that says it all.
A reaction to that?
Well, I think that there is a general perception that the attorney general ought to be somewhat independent from the president, but that has not always been the case. It certainly was the case in 1973 when Nixon's attorney general, Elliot Richardson, and then his deputy, William Ruckelshaus, resigned rather than fire the special prosecutor, Archibald Cox. But there have also been attorneys general who were very closely connected to the president, Robert Kennedy, for example. And so there are different models of what the attorney general should be, but I think a good attorney general ought to have some independence and some integrity, and I suppose that in both of those instances, Gonzalez is being criticized.
Yeah, how significant is it that at least a handful, and maybe more, Republicans also want Gonzalez to resign?
Well, I think that suggests that what he has done, or at least what the department has done, with or without his approval, is not acceptable. The norm is that the U.S. attorneys are, that every new president can appoint all new U.S. attorneys. They don't literally do that because some are kept on, but it's understood that a president doesn't need to give any reasons for appointing a new U.S. attorney. There are 93 of them in the United States, and they usually then have a fair amount of independence, and they serve at least till the end of the first term of that president and possibly through the second. And when there's a change in the political party of the president, then usually there's a pretty clean sweep. So there's a difference between initial appointments, which are clearly very political. Presidents appoint all Republican or all Democratic lawyers to these positions, that they're supposed to have some independence after that. And that's what's been violated here.
John in Appleton is with us now. Hi, John.
Hello.
Yes,
hello.
I was wondering who is taking care of the Attorney General's responsibilities while he's currently embroiled in this controversy.
Well, the Attorney General is essentially a figurehead in the sense that he sets and is involved in major policy decisions, but he doesn't run the department.
Mm-hmm.
That's the Deputy Attorney General, who has, of course, announced that he will resign, I believe, at the end of June, Paul McNulty. But I assume he's still on the job, and therefore he's running the Justice Department.
Yeah, I think that somebody that has displayed the kind of incompetence toward his job and the lack of responsibility that Alberto Gonzalez has displayed should have somebody step in and take over.
Well, that's up to the president. The Attorney General serves the president, even though one might say in the best of all possible worlds, he ought to be somewhat independent and that he is not the president's private lawyer. That's true, but the fact is, ultimately, only the president counts. If the president is happy, the Attorney General stays. If the president's unhappy, he goes.
Yeah.
That's true of all cabinet members.
And, you know, Professor Grossman, just because the president says that he, you know, stands by Gonzalez doesn't mean that he always will, right? I mean, we had the same thing with Rumsfeld and the FEMA guy. Who
right.
else? You know, it's happened.
Dan Brown, mm-hmm. Mike Brown. I think this is, as I said at the beginning, this is kind of a political dance. Each side is kind of, you know, making some fainting moves, trying to figure out what the other side is going to do. I think the reason that the vote of no confidence has not really been scheduled yet and has been put back a couple of days is they don't quite perhaps have the votes. And they also don't want to do it. They would rather have the president dump Gonzalez without the vote of no confidence. And the president, on the other hand, wants to make them take that move so he can criticize it as being highly partisan and so on, even though some Republicans are supporting it. So what you have here is a kind of political chess game, and the merits of the situation are largely beside the point at this point.
Yeah,
nobody thinks, I think, that Gonzalez is doing a great job, but he's, you know, the reason he's leaving is, or he might be leaving, my judgment probably will be leaving, is that he's becoming a political liability.
Yeah. In fact, I'm glad you brought that up. At first, we were searching around, when is this vote going to take place? Because originally we thought it was going to be this week, and now Democrats are saying they're uncertain that the no-confidence
right.
vote will be held
that
this week.
That was what the New York Times reported this morning, and that suggests, A, that they're not sure they have the votes, or B, they're really trying to put pressure on George Bush to dump Gonzalez so they don't have to take a vote.
Yeah. Next we go to Jean in Appleton. Hi, Jean, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi. I lost confidence in Gonzalez almost immediately before the attorney scandal broke because he despised the Geneva Convention, said they need not be followed, and approved of torture. And that in itself suggests that he is not suitable to be the Attorney General. The attorney scandal, the bedside visit to Ashcroft, just make it more so. And I think that from the beginning, he was not qualified, and I definitely hope that he steps down. If he doesn't, I guess the only tool they have is a vote of no confidence, even if it has no actual authority. And I guess that says it.
Yeah.
Well, I think that there's obviously substantial disagreement on a number of the policy positions that Gonzalez has taken, including the ones you mentioned regarding the Geneva Convention and so on. By the way, it's also the case that the Attorney General can be impeached, but that obviously is a much more serious matter. And while the Democrats have the votes in the House of Representatives to impeach him, they clearly don't have the votes in the Senate to convict him. And so that's why they're not going that far.
Yeah, there is a group, the Democracy for America, has started a campaign, Impeach Gonzalez and Restore Accountability and Ethical Leadership to the United States Justice
Department. Right, and that will get absolutely nowhere. but it's an interesting idea. I talked about it with my students, but only as a kind of an abstraction. There's no chance that will happen.
There is, you believe that once he becomes more of a political liability, that he, Gonzalez, will be gone. Getting a no-confidence vote from the U.S. Senate, while non-binding, has got to add to that liability status.
Yes, and that's why I said it's a kind of a political maneuvering that Bush doesn't want to have to get rid of Gonzalez, but he will if he has to. And he and, I dare say, Karl Rove, and his other political advisors have to make a calculation of when Gonzalez is weighing them down too much. He's clearly not helping them at this point. He's clearly a liability. The question is he more of a liability than they would be hurt by discarding one of their top people?
Well, we're going to end this half hour with a joke from Dennis and Sister Bay. There's a joke about this, Dennis?
Well, I don't know. Maybe this is a bit tongue-in-cheek, but Gonzalez has my vote of confidence. I don't think his work is done yet. I think he really needs to declare the term limit succession law invalid so we can have four more years of George Bush.
Ba-dum-bum.
Well, that means he would have to repeal the 22nd Amendment. That would be a little difficult.
Well, we will continue talking with Joel Grossman, professor of political science at Johns Hopkins University, adjunct professor of law at the University of Maryland Law School. Prior to that, was with the University of Wisconsin-Madison. We're talking about Alberto Gonzalez and the Justice Department and the Senate planning on giving a no-confidence vote to Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez, and some senators hoping, predicting that Gonzalez will resign before that vote is taken sometime later this week or maybe next week. What do you think? What questions do you have? I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. Good to have you with us on this Tuesday, May the 22nd. It's 7:36. Well, our lines are open, and we have a line for you and time for you to talk about Alberto Gonzalez and the troubles he's facing these days. You get to play U.S. Senator and vote on whether you have confidence or no confidence in the Attorney General. Should Gonzalez resign over the U.S. Attorney's scandal and the other recent revelations in the news? Or has Gonzalez done nothing wrong, as President Bush said yesterday? And he also accused senators of playing pure political theater in scheduling a no-confidence vote for Gonzalez. That no-confidence vote could come later this week or maybe next week. Arlen Specter thinks that Gonzalez may resign before that no-confidence vote is taken. What do you think? What questions do you have? Is this important? Do you agree with the president that this is just politics? Or does it not matter to you if Alberto Gonzalez is in this job or not? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. There, now our lines are firing up. Our guest is Joel Grossman, professor of political science at Johns Hopkins University, adjunct professor of law at the University of Maryland Law School. Previously a professor of political science and law at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. And our next caller is Randy in Prairie du Chien. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning. I was wondering why Gonzalez isn't being held in contempt of Congress for testifying that there were no dissension or objections to the secret wiretapping when Comey and Ashcroft and two others in the department were ready to resign over it, and he talked about it. Classified information before Ashcroft's wife in an intensive care unit.
Well, I think that would be upping the ante much more than Congress wants to do, and I think they wouldn't have the votes for it. You can't just hold somebody in contempt without some fairly deep processes going on, and you need a strong majority. So I think that that's not an issue, and the fact is the facts are not quite as clear as you state them. Though I think I support your general position, it's too involved, and we're not ready for that yet. Contempt citations are issued when there's very clear effort to evade or to commit perjury before a House or a Senate committee. That's the more likely scenario. So, and some of the things that Gonzalez is accused of doing, of course, are not within the jurisdiction of Congress per se. That is to say, if he broke the law, that's a matter for, I hate to say this, U.S. attorney.
How, Professor Grossman, jaw-dropping was that testimony from the former Deputy Attorney General Comey about the bedside visit?
Well, I think it... I'm not sure how one measures jaw
dropping. Yeah, right. No, I mean, it said that the senators were just shocked to hear that such a drama played out.
Well, I think when you are a member of the Senate or the House and you've been there for a while, you probably are not easily shocked by anything. But I think it was probably a little bit more dramatic than it. You know, kind of a Keystone Cops scenario than it needed to be, but I think it did kind of bring home the fact that in the Bush administration the political people are in charge, and that's what this is really all about.
John in Delafield is with us. Hello, you're on the air.
Yes, good morning. Quick comment and then a question for Professor Grossman. The comment is that I think some observers and one previous caller on the program need to be reminded that the Attorney General, as a cabinet member, is one serving at the pleasure of the president. And so comments like becoming the Attorney General for all the people don't make a great deal of sense to me. They're not there to represent everyone's interests, just as Professor Grossman pointed out. Bobby Kennedy was a trusted confidant of President John F. Kennedy. The question for Professor Grossman, I guess, pertains to what might be next for Gonzalez. I hope he stays on, but I don't know much about his background, and I'm curious if Professor Grossman has any thoughts about what he's likely to do, go into private practice, or what have you, if should he not survive this ordeal.
Well, I think, you know, that's a good question, because no matter what happens, in 18 months he'll be out of a job.
Mm-hmm.
So he'll have to look for some other kind of work. And I don't think that if there was a new Republican president that he would be high on the list of people to hire, because he's, politically speaking, damaged goods. In terms of what his personal life, where it would lead, I don't know. He was, of course, George Bush's lawyer in Texas, and then George Bush put him on the Texas Supreme Court, and he actually became Chief Justice of the Texas Supreme Court. And then he followed George Bush to Washington as legal counsel to the president, and then he became Attorney General. So he's been in public life for a long time now. And I assume probably he'll find some law firm that will be happy to have him there. There's no evidence that he's a very distinguished lawyer, but that doesn't matter. He would probably be a very good rainmaker. That's a term lawyers use for bringing in clients.
I'm just trying to get her. The attorney general, though, is not a position that provides. There is a White House counsel that provides legal advice to the president and the administration. That's not
right.
The role of the attorney general.
That's right. And that's the position Gonzalez served in before he was made attorney general, counsel to the president. So I think there is some expectation that the attorney general have, as I said this earlier, have some independence from the president, even though he's a political appointee of the president. But ultimately, he still serves at the pleasure of the president. There can't be any denying that. And so, a good attorney general has to meet the president's political needs, but at the same time, be reasonably professional and objective in running the Department of Justice, which prides itself, or at least below the political level, prides itself on nonpartisan performance. So it's a tough role to play. Not many people do it well.
Yeah. As this dance is going on between both sides here, do you think the American public really gives a darn if Alberto Gonzalez is the attorney general or not?
No. That's a simple answer.
Mm-hmm.
Some people concerned about it or thinking about it or talking about it? Sure, because it's in the news. You can't mm-hmm. avoid it. But I think that as a long-term issue, it doesn't have much that gravitas. It's not likely to take people's minds off the war in Iraq or immigration. Or the economy, or some of the other great issues that are likely to be determinative in the 08 election.
Our guest is Joel Grossman, professor of political science at Johns Hopkins University and adjunct professor of law at the University of Maryland Law School, talking with us about Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez and the trouble that he is in these days, and the fact that the U.S. Senate has scheduled or will schedule a no-confidence vote to express their opinion on the job the Attorney General is doing. We wonder what you think, what questions you have. Do you think that Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez should resign or not, and why or why not? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 13 minutes before 8 o'clock. Coming up after 8, test tube babies. Used to be the wave of the future, but it's much, much more common now. We will talk with a guest about how assisted reproduction methods are changing our view of the world. That's coming up after 8 o'clock. We're talking about Alberto Gonzalez and the Justice Department and politics. The U.S. Senate is planning on scheduling a no-confidence vote against Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez. That was going to be this week, but now Democrats are saying maybe it'll be next week, seeing what happens there. Wondering what you think, what questions you have for our guest political analyst. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. And we have a Republican state representative on the line to weigh in on this. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good. I'm sorry, I can't read your name on my screen.
It's Jeff Wood. I'm from Chippewa Falls.
Hi.
Hi. Absolutely, I think he should step down. He should have stepped down a long time ago. He's dead weight on the administration. He's done his job poorly. He's made a mockery of the Justice Department. And if he had half the loyalty to the president that the president has to him, he'd have stepped down a long time ago.
Ah, what about that, Professor Grossman?
Well, we don't know that he has an offer to step down. I think what the important point here is not really what Gonzalez wants, but what the president wants. And I think it's very clear that the president and his political advisors don't think this is the time for him to step down for their interests. When they make that decision, Gonzalez will be gone.
Well, in that case, the president has some obligation, too, to put his party and especially his country ahead of his own interests, and I think he's failing to do that then.
Well, that's a joke.
That's a
fair criticism, but, you know, ultimately only he can decide. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, so, yep. Representative Woods, you think that this scandal in Alberto Gonzalez is hurting the Republican Party?
Well, it just adds to it. I mean, a lot of what's going on in that administration is hurting the Republican Party, but this takes away at least the high ground that some Republicans thought they had, at least having more integrity in office, compared to with the former Attorney General, Janet Reno. This blows that right out of the water. You know, I just think we used to be a party that stood for principle and taking responsibility when you make a mistake, and I think this administration has done everything it can to avoid facing the facts. And, you know, it was a Democrat who said the buck stopped here, but it's something that I thought my party believed in.
Well, I think as that it probably is hurting the Republican Party, but I don't think it's going to, what I said earlier is I don't think it's going to be a major political issue in the election. I just think, you know, it just doesn't become that important to most people. But I don't. It's not a positive, certainly. It's certainly a negative in some sense. But, of course, as George Bush well understands, it's not so much a negative for him as it would be for whomever the Republican candidate is in 08. I mean, that would be the person who might suffer some of the consequences of this. The Bush administration, you know, is not going to be substantially undermined by this simply because they have a lot of other problems that are more serious.
Well, Representative Wood, thank you very much for calling in. We appreciate your participation. Moving next to Kurt in DeSoto. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. My comment is I think what Congress really wants to know is who actually created the list and where it came from, and I'm wondering if the woman that's going to testify later this week is going to be able to connect those dots.
Well, I think that's a good point. I think they're both waiting for Monica Goodling's testimony, which I believe is scheduled for tomorrow, because she was clearly, along with this other person named Kyle Sampson, they were clearly at the kind of center of this operation, and she could be quite an embarrassment, depending on, you know, what she says. Remember now, she has complete immunity. But she can no longer claim the Fifth Amendment. So she has to testify to whatever the facts are on risk perjury charges. So I think probably both sides, in the case of the president, with some apprehension, are simply waiting for her testimony.
Yeah, I find it flabbergasting that the Attorney General doesn't know who created the list or why people's names are on the list. That's why I vote no confidence.
Well, my personal view is that I agree with you. If he didn't know, then he was truly incompetent. But he doesn't want to be associated with it because it's now clear that it was wrong. That was too much of a partisan political move to try to remove. Remember, there were 26 names on that list originally, and then it was pared down to eight, to remove a quarter of the U.S. attorneys. And it appears in every case that I've read about, it was because purely political reasons. These weren't performance issues, as they said initially. So I think they're caught, they're embarrassed, and they're trying to get out of it the best way they can.
Yeah, thank you very much, Kurt, for the call. And then we hear that the Milwaukee federal prosecutor's Biskupic was on that list, and everybody thought he was a stand-up guy who was doing a good job. But there's speculation as to whether he felt political pressure to do things in order to get off that list.
Well, I don't know that one way or the other yet.
Micah in Milwaukee. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I was going to kind of make the same comment as John in Delafield, but to add on to the fact that the Attorney General is a political appointment, I just kind of wonder, because the Congress is saying, you know, this is politically motivated by the president and everything. Isn't the whole vote of no confidence a completely politically motivated move? Because as far as I understood, they certainly don't have the power to remove the Attorney General. So
well, they
the only
do. They
thing
can impeach him.
They can impeach him. That's something I didn't entirely
well,
understand.
They don't have the votes, but they're legally entitled to try.
Okay, so they would have to first get a vote of no confidence, and then if they had enough, they would think about impeaching him?
No, those are totally unrelated. The vote of no confidence is simply a political statement.
Okay.
It has no legal force in effect. And remember when Clinton was impeached, some people argued that what he had done merited a reprimand but not an impeachment. And, you know, the Republicans in Congress obviously weren't going to settle for that. So the fact is Gonzalez is not going to be impeached because the votes aren't there.
Okay,
so nobody's talking about that.
Yeah, they're wasting time basically in a political statement as much as, you know, the president was, if you want to call it wasting time, appointing him as attorney general.
Well, I'm not sure, if, you know, how do you calculate time? From the Democrats' point of view, this is just another way in which they're putting the brakes on the Bush administration and trying to embarrass it. That's what politics is all about. They're, you know, this is one of about seven different investigations that are going on right now. And what the president is seeing is that working with a Congress of the opposing party is very different than working with a Congress of your own party, because there was very little congressional oversight for 6 years, oversight of the Bush administration, and now all of a sudden it's revving up but quite substantially, and that's what this is all about. So, and there are different issues, and the president's getting hit with all of them, we'll see how it plays out. So there's no doubt that the goals here are political embarrassment. The Democrats want to embarrass the president, and they're doing it.
Yeah. Well, how do you think it will play out in terms of will this vote happen next week, or will Gonzalez resign before then?
As I said, first of all, I think a lot depends on what Monica Goodling says tomorrow. I mean, she was involved. I mean, she was clearly a person not qualified to be making those kinds of decisions. Nonetheless, to save her own skin, she may decide and because she has to tell the truth, she may reveal information that would undermine Gonzalez even more. Or she might provide some support for the Gonzalez position that he really didn't know what was going on. So we just have to wait and see, and I think that's why all sides are waiting.
Yeah, should he resign, and should the president believe he's become too much of a political liability and ask him to resign, what does that mean for the Justice Department and justice in this country if we have no one at the helm?
It doesn't mean anything. Mm-hmm. The Justice Department operates with or without the Attorney General in all kinds of ways. And while obviously you need somebody at the helm, most of the things that the Justice Department does in terms of prosecutions and civil lawsuits and enforcing the law and all of those things just go on regardless of whether or not the Attorney General is on the ball or not. You know, I think another reason that Bush is fighting as hard as he is, other than well commented upon loyalty to his subordinates, mm-hmm. is who would he appoint?
Right, I was thinking the same thing.
You know, in the last 18 months of the administration, who would take that job? Who was good enough to merit it? You wouldn't want to appoint another political hack like Gonzalez. You would want to appoint somebody with a reputation for rectitude and integrity. And someone like, say, Henry Paulson at the Treasury, who was widely respected in the economic community.
Yeah, how about Harriet Myers?
Yeah, well, that's a sick joke. But anyway, so I think Bush would have some trouble finding that kind of person who would be willing to leave, you know, some kind of other legal position in the private sector to be the attorney general in a discredited administration.
Really, but there we're out of time. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Joel Grossman, professor of political science at Johns Hopkins University, adjunct professor of law at the University of Maryland Law School. Thanks to Karen Prager for producing this hour. Thank you for listening. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.